I'm reading today from the book of Colossians. If you'd like to follow, open your Bible to Colossians 3, verse 11, in which Paul says, "You have put on the new man." There's been a new creation. The new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him. And where there's no nationality, that is neither Greek nor Jew, there are no religious works, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, no social status, nor barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but where Christ is all and in all. This new man, renewed in knowledge, after the image of God who created him, in this new man, there's no nationality, Greek or Jew, no religious work, circumcision or uncircumcision, no social status based on education, wealth, wisdom, power, so and so, but Christ is all and in all. Now that's my text. Christ is all and in all. That's my subject. Christ is all and in all. And that's my creed. Christ is all and in all. And my friends, that's my hope, that Christ is all and in all. Now, these words are few. Christ is all. They're short, one syllable, Christ is all. And quickly spoken, Christ is all. But these six words contain great, great things. These six words are the very essence and substance of Christianity, true Christianity. These words are the very essence and substance of our relationship with God and our hope of life eternal. Christ is all and in all. And if we can understand these six words and enter into what they're actually saying, do you know what this is saying? Christ is all, not you, nor anyone else, nor anything else, but Christ is all. In this new creation, in this new man, in this creation by God, Christ is all and in all. And if we can enter into the meaning of those words, it's well with our souls. If we cannot enter into the meaning of those words, we have a lot to learn. Christ is all. The Scriptures are clear on this subject. In John 3:35, the Scripture says, "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand." All things. Ephesians 1:22 says, "The Father hath put all things under his feet, and the Father hath given him to be the head of all things." And Colossians 2:9 says, "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Christ is all and in all. Let me take you back a little ways and then bring you right up to this present. First of all, Jesus Christ is all in the first creation. We talked about the new man created in the image of God, made by this new creature, this new man. Well, in the old creation, in the first creation, Christ is all, because he's before all things. He prayed in John 17. He said, "Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Christ is before all things. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Jesus of Nazareth. He didn't begin his existence in Bethlehem's manger. He came into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world. He that ascended is he that descended. The Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then Proverbs 8 says this, "When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills were brought forth, when God prepared the heavens, I was there." That's Christ speaking. Revelation 3:14 says, Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. Whatever that means, I really don't know. But I know that He's before all things. Not only is He before all things, but all things were made by Him. That's what John said in John 1. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:16 says, by Him were all things made that are in heaven, earth, under the earth, visible and invisible, principalities, powers, whatever. All things were made by Him and for Him. And continues on in that same chapter, Colossians 1, and says He upholds all things. By Him all things exist and consist. And then He has power and authority over all things. He said in Matthew 28, I have all authority in heaven and earth. Told His disciples to go preach the gospel because you represent one who has all authority in heaven and earth. He prayed in John 17 again, Father, Thou hast given me power over all flesh. Jesus Christ I'm talking about. He has the keys of hell and death. Did you know that? That's what the Bible said. King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the heir of all things. Listen to Hebrews 1:2. God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. Christ is all. He's before all things. By Him all things were made, for Him all things were made. He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. By Him all things consist. He has power and authority over all things and all creatures. He has all authority in heaven and earth. Everything belongs to Him because the Father has given it to Him. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hands. Did you know that? Preacher, are you talking about Jesus, sweet little Jesus, poor little Jesus, so forth that preachers are talking about pitiful Jesus. Yes, sir. But that's not the Jesus I'm talking about. I'm talking about the victorious, conquering, seated, reigning King of kings, Lord of lords, whose name Jesus Christ. He's all things in the old creation, in the first creation. But come a little further down the line, He's all things in the new creation. Christ is all in the new creation. Here's seven things you need to consider. I'll try to give them to you briefly. Christ is all in the covenant. Now, the word covenant is in the Bible over 300 times. We've got the covenant God made with Adam, the covenant of works. There's a covenant with Noah. There's a covenant with Moses, there's a covenant with David. But the Bible talks about an everlasting covenant. Everlasting both ways. It's called the new covenant because it's newly revealed. It's not newly established or newly purposed. It's before all things. But it's newly revealed. That which was given to Adam had to be revealed first. And then grace in Christ revealed secondly. Well, Jesus Christ is all in that covenant, that everlasting covenant, that covenant of grace, that new covenant, that covenant of the kingdom, that covenant that shall be fulfilled, that covenant of mercy. He's all in that covenant. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's called the surety of the new covenant. He's called the mediator of the new covenant. He brought again from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. This is the covenant in which David rejoiced when he was a dying. David said, although it be not so with my house, God hath made with me a covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation and all my desire. He's the mediator of the New Testament. The new covenant. What is a testament? Well, a last will and testament. You're familiar with that. Some of you already have your last will and testament. It's not in effect, is it? You say, of course not, preacher, I'm not dead. That's right, a testament is only in effect when the testator dies. That's right, isn't it? Well, a covenant is a testament. And this covenant of God's grace is only in effect because the mediator, the testator, Christ Jesus, died. And what he willed to us and gave to us and purchased for us, he's given to us. And he's seated on the throne to enforce his will and his testament. That last will and testament you make could be defeated in court. It could be overturned. And you'll be dead and can't do anything about it. But my Lord lives. And he executes his own covenant and testament. Well, he's everything in the testament, the covenant, and he's all in election. He's the first elect. God calls him mine elect. The poet says this, Christ be my first elect, God said, and then he chose his people in their head. But Ephesians 1, Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, according as he chose us in Christ, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins through his blood. He's all in the covenant. He's all in election. He's all in justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:34 says, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, who is also exalted and who even makes intercession for us. And then he's all in the putting away of sin. Hebrews 9 says, once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, when he had by himself purged our sins. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You see what I'm saying? Christ is all in the covenant. Christ is all in this thing of election. Christ is all in justification. Christ is all in the putting away of sin. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we're healed. He's all in righteousness. He's called in Jeremiah 23:6, the Lord our righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And again, he says in Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He's all. Christ doesn't make a down payment and you pay the installment. He's all in the covenant, in election, in justification, in righteousness, in the putting away of sin, and in our acceptance with God. We are accepted in the Beloved. That's what the Scripture says. Hebrews 4 says, seeing we have such a great high priest, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Hebrews 10 says this, having boldness, brethren, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by which he hath opened for us into God's presence a new and living way through his flesh, through his blood. He's all of our acceptance. We're accepted in the Beloved. And then he's all in salvation. The Bible says neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ Jesus the Lord. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And God's going to judge the world. He's all in judgment. The Father judges no man. He's committed all judgment to the Son. And he has appointed a day in which all men are going to be judged by that man, Christ Jesus. whereof he's given witness to the whole world, in that he raised him from the dead. And no man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Christ is all in salvation. I wish I could make that clear. When a person speaks of a knowledge of God, it is an impossibility apart from Christ. That's what I'm saying. When a person talks about a relationship with God, being accepted, in other words, two can't walk together except they be agreed. And if God accepts me to walk with him as Enoch of old, how's he going to accept me? Only in the beloved. If God's going to put away my sin, how is a just God, a holy God, a righteous God going to put away my sins and still be just? Well, he has set forth his Son to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, that he might be just and justifier, a just God and a Savior. He's all in justification. Righteousness. Who's going to stand in his presence? Who's going to ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. We don't have that. Well, how are we going to ascend? How are we going to stand? Only in Christ. So when one speaks of a knowledge of God or relationship with the living God, he must understand that Jesus Christ is all from God, he's all to God, and he's all with God. Is that clear? He's all from God. The Father sent the Son to redeem us. He's all to God. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And he's all with God. God has given him a name above every name. That's the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord. Listen to John 5:21. Listen to this. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whomsoever he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but he hath committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father who sent him. Did I get that across? He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that sent him. Christ is all in salvation. And then thirdly, Jesus Christ is all in the Scriptures. That's right. He's all in the Scriptures. He's all in the Gospel. He's all in the ministry of God's Word. It is Christ. It is of Christ that the Scriptures speak. He said one day to the religious Pharisees, he said, "You search the Scriptures. You search the Scriptures. You're busy studying the Scriptures. But they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life." What's the Scriptures all about? Christ. To him give all the prophets witness. Who are the prophets here? Well, Moses, Job, Isaiah, Jeremiah. These, to Christ give all the prophets witness. Moses wrote of me. They said, "We have Moses." He said, "He wrote of me." It's Christ that the apostles preached. Listen to these Scriptures. Acts 5, daily in the temple, in every house, they ceased not to preach Christ. Acts 8:5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. Acts 8:35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Christ. Acts 10:36, Peter preached the word, preaching Christ. He's Lord of all. Acts 11:20, when they came to Antioch, they spake to the Greeks, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles preach Christ. The Scriptures preach Christ. It's Christ that I'm trying to preach. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ. I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, because he's all. Someone says, "Well, there's something else to preach." Not if he's all, there isn't. Whatever else you preach in its relationship to him. He's all. If I have Christ, I have all. If I have do not have Christ, whatever I have nothing that shall abide. It's Christ that we preach. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. It's Christ who sends us to preach. As my Father sent me, so send I you. You take Christ out of the gospel, my friend, you have no gospel. You have no good news. Are you in darkness? He's the light. Are you poor? He's our riches. Are you hungry? He's the bread. Are you thirsty? He's the water of life. Are you weary? Christ is our rest. Are you in trouble? Christ is our peace. Are you sick? He's the great physician. Are you bound by sin? He came to set the captive free. Are you blind? Christ gives sight. Are you lost? Christ came to seek and to save the lost. Are you a sinner? He's the friend of sinners. Christ is all. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus Christ is able to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Come ye sinners, heavy laden, bruised and mangled by the fall. If you wait till you're better, you'll never come at all. Let not conscience make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him, because he's all. He's all. And then next, Christ is all in the ordinances. The ordinances. Baptism. What is baptism? Well, baptism is nothing without Christ. It means nothing. It's a foolish, foolish action without Christ. You see, baptism sets forth his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Baptism sets forth, when we're baptized, our burial with him, our death and burial and resurrection to walk in newness of life. That's baptism. It's Christ. Death, burial, and resurrection. What's the Lord's table? Communion. You take the wine and the bread. What is it? Without Christ, it's nothing. Without Christ, it's a silly thing. It's a superstitious thing without Christ, because the bread is his body broken for you. The wine is his blood shed for you. What do? We show forth his death till he comes. Why do we do it? In remembrance of him. The Lord's table is Christ. He's all. Prayer. People engage in prayer for various reasons, but real prayer without Christ is nothing. We pray in his name. We pray by the help of his Spirit. We know not the things for which we should pray, except the Holy Spirit lead us. He's the only mediator. God says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Our prayers aren't even heard except by him, through him, because of him. Every gift is through him. Christ is all in the ordinances, in worship. God said, let all the angels of God worship him. He's the head of the church, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Tell you something else, Christ is all in every grace we have. Paul said one time, I labored more abundantly than all of you, yet not I, but Christ in me. Everything we have is as a result of his indwelling us. His goodness leads us to repentance. Faith is his gift of God. Love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Hope, Christ is my hope. Life, Christ who is our life shall appear. Security, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, be honor and glory and power both now and forever. My security, my rest, come unto me, he said, I'll give you rest. Christ is all. So these are my conclusions. If Jesus Christ is all and in all to me, then the loss of anything or anyone in this world for his sake is no loss at all. If he's all, I haven't really lost anything unless I lose him, because he's all. If Jesus Christ is all to me, then I can say with Jacob, I have everything. You know, when he met Esau, tried to give him a gift, and Esau said, well, I got plenty. And Jacob said, take it. I got everything. I've got everything. I've got all. If Jesus Christ is all to me, then the pleasures and the profits and the honors of this world won't be nearly so interesting. Paul said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I know how to suffer loss, and I know how to hunger, and I know how to have plenty. I've been in all those conditions, and it really doesn't matter either way, because Christ is all. If Jesus Christ is all to me, then when death comes and I stand before God, I have no fear. In closing, listen. The moon and the stars shall lose their light. The sun shall sink in endless night. Heaven and earth shall pass away. The works of nature shall all decay. But they to whom Christ is all, though lost and ruined by the fall, shall see the danger overpass, shall stand the storm and live at last. For what Christ said must be fulfilled. And on this rock believers build. His blood will stand, his truth prevail. Not one word, not one promise shall ever fail. My friends, Christ is all and in all. Now I have this message on a cassette tape. The two messages on this tape. What is your life? What is your life? That's the first message. The second message, Christ is all and in all. If you want it, send $2. Here's the address in just a moment, and we'll mail it to you. Till we meet again, may God bless you.